Welcome to Inclusive Career Conversations, the go-to podcast for HR leaders, talent acquisition specialists, and D&I champions. I'm your host, Zoe Hayden-Jones, and each episode we'll dive deep with thought leaders and trailblazers, uncovering actionable insights that empower you to create a more inclusive environment for everyone. I'm so glad you're here. Let's do this. So before we dive into this week's episode, here are some key things you will learn from listening. Number one, providing ongoing education and training for all employees regarding menstrual cycles to help break down stigma and lack of understanding. So this is everyone that's either having menstruation or not. Number two, appointing a menstrual cycle champion that staff can approach confidentially for support or guidance, just offering that additional resource for those that need that additional support or maybe that they're struggling. Number three, ensuring access to period products in bathrooms, in toilets is happening. You know, giving people the basic dignity and accessibility if they are caught off guard and creating a safe space where people can have their period at work. And number four is exploring other policies. So if you're looking at implementing a menstrual leave policy, but you're getting kickback or it's taking a while to implement, you're looking at all angles, then Lizzie talks about other policies that you might have. She said, you know, start with flexible working and then look at the policies that you have that maybe a menstrual policy could sit side by side. She also talks about wellbeing days, which I thought was genius. So I hope you enjoy the podcast episode. Don't forget to follow and subscribe so you can be notified as soon as an episode drops and leave us a review. Thank you so much for being here. Here's the show. So welcome to another episode of Inclusive Career Conversations. I am delighted to welcome my guest this week. We have Lizzie Kurtzer, who is a menstrual cycle awareness coach for businesses in the workplace. Welcome, Lizzie.
Hi, Zoe. I'm very excited to be here.
It's so great. We connected on LinkedIn, which just seems to be the place to be for these amazing career conversations. So I'm really happy that you've given us some time today. On our sister podcast, Women Work Wellbeing, I love talking about menstruation and all things period and breaking down the barriers. So I am intrigued to know more about what you do. So let's start right at the beginning. Can you talk to us about your background and how you are working in this incredibly important area?
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it? Like, how did I get into this? It's like, how far do I go back? But I did psychology at uni. I've always been interested in people, people development, you know, breaking down barriers so that people can perform and move forward. And my career started in executive search, in retail and supply chain technology. So completely different. And in that role, I was both a leading graduate team to begin with and doing a lot of internal development and internal training. But also I worked really closely with our director on all the C-level hiring. So I got like the best of I felt both worlds because I was like training and developing people internally, but I got to speak to like leaders like every day all over the world about leadership. And I just like absolutely loved it. And so that was about like 8 years ago and around the time that we were really starting to hear the call for more women in leadership. And in that respect, what I started to notice either through the processes that we were dealing with or the women leaders that I was speaking to in the process was, we're really calling in more women and female leaders. But when they would get in there, the response would be, oh, but we don't want them to lead that way. We want them to lead like everyone has before them. And so I was being like, right, so we're not really calling any calling in female leaders, are we? We just want what's been there before because there was just a sense of we just don't like the change that's being brought in with it. So that really started to build the fire in my belly for like how do we change the system? Like how do we change the layers to make it more like inclusive for women and to embrace the leadership that they bring? So that was that angle of it. And then equally, I would just see through, my internal teams and just speaking to women in the processes that the impact of their cycle and on their confidence, that would be a big one, you know, like the number of times I had someone try to resign because all of a sudden they were like, I just can't do this. And because of the manager I was, I'd often just be like, where are you in your cycle? Not to blame it, but just to have that like compassion and understanding. And then you would realize they're like in the throes of their premenstruum, they're putting so much pressure on themselves. They're feeling like they can't speak up. And so they want to give up versus like, oh, that's the wrong thing to say, not give up. They want to like, they just don't think they're cut out for it versus like, actually, how can we both support you through this? And then all sorts. I had an employee once who I found in the bathroom floor, and I didn't know that she had endometriosis, and she was in so much pain. She was lying on the cold floor to stop herself from fainting. You know, and I remember thinking, what, how did I not know? You know, I thought about myself, like, you know, the first thing, which is terrible, isn't it? But I was like, why did I not know? Why did she not tell me? And then it wasn't until we had this conversation. It's just like, well, I guess we just don't talk about this sort of thing. And, you know, all her shame and embarrassment. So they, like, there were all these things that were like accumulating. And then on a personal perspective, about 5-6 years ago, I'd done a lot of my own internal work and I'd made a lot of strides in my personal life and professional life, and things were really, I'd really built a lot of momentum. I had a lot of therapy, you know, all of these things, coaching, but I still didn't quite understand something about myself. And I started to think there was something really wrong with me. And then as life does it, like that, only that week, because I can remember saying something to my partner on the way home being like, there's just something not right. And then I was listening to a podcast and this person was talking about menstrual cycle awareness. And I'm one of 21 grandchildren and 17 of us are women. I've got two older sisters. My dad's a doctor. Like, I thought I knew about like cycles and we were really open about that sort of stuff. But I'd never heard someone explain the cycle in the way that I heard it. And I just remember stopping on my run and being like, oh, this is it. Like, this is the bit that's missing from my own journey and understanding myself, but this is the bit that's missing in the workplace that, like, one, women don't understand, and two, is such a barrier to women in leadership. So, yeah, that's sort of really kind of what brought me to where I'm at.
That is so fascinating. I was so carried along with your journey because there's so many areas that I can relate to. First of all, I just want to go back to this confidence piece. Like, I've been there. So many of my friends, my peers, people I know have had that part of the month or whatever it is. Maybe it's every other month, depending on your cycle and how you are, where you just feel like you can't do it anymore. And like you said, it's not giving up. It's just that inner voice saying, no, I can't do it. And knowing that 51% of the population might have gone through that, this is why it's frustrating that workplaces aren't aware or aren't supporting or aren't having the conversations. But what incredible experience that you were part, you know, talking to all those amazing people at C-suite level. And I feel like all of that experience, I think everything that we do is all interconnected, but how that must be shaping what you're doing now, you know, like your real experiences of women in the workplace, talking to them, and then finding your colleague on the bathroom floor. And of course, like you said, why didn't you know about it? Because it's just, we just haven't talked about it, have we?
Yep, no. It's just not normalized. We've never spoken about it. So why would she kind of feel comfortable coming and saying it?
So talk to me about, obviously we're going to talk about lots of like how people listening that maybe manage a team or work in HR, how companies can really start to make a difference without just doing a token, yes, here's a post about it, but actually make some change. Just talk to us for people listening that aren't aware or perhaps that don't have periods or whatever it is, what is this awareness that will help when we're thinking about our menstruation?
Yeah, so I think on the individual level, for the person who has a menstrual cycle, it is just knowing where they are in their cycle on any given day. That is what like menstrual cycle awareness is, tracking your cycle, knowing where you are in your cycle. And then this like ability to kind of, you know, like check in with yourself. What's around for me? What do I need? Because like so many people with menstrual cycles do not know this. And like, because I forget, because I live in that world now, and then I go into organizations And I would say there might be one person in that room that's heard of menstrual cycle awareness or tracks their cycle. And the rest of them are like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know anything about ovulation. I didn't know anything, you know, and I thought it was normal. It's interesting because I think, one, it's normal, but I think they're the only ones that feels X, you know, that feels like they're not cut out for this world, that are struggling with, you know, all the different, you know, things that we could go into. So that's what menstrual cycle awareness is for the individual level. And then I think equally in the organization, it's just educating about that. Because like you say, it's like 51% of the population at some point has had a menstrual cycle and no one actually really understands them or knows anything about them.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point earlier, you know, when you were talking about that, maybe people in your team, if they're not sort of being vocal about it, because we've not been programmed to do so, it's been this like taboo. You know, for perhaps male managers that are listening, do you give tips on how like a male manager might go about, like, is it okay for them to ask questions about it, or is it just a case of having the open dialogue? What's the approach they should take?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think always through my messaging is that there's no two people's experiences the same, you know? So whether we're talking about just the menstrual cycle and periods, or we're going further into like endometriosis or polycystic ovarian syndrome and the other kind of menstrual health and gynecological disorders, you could have two people having, you know, say with endometriosis, or two people with really painful periods doing the same things, having the same interventions with two very different outcomes. And so it's always like treating it very individualistic. And I think one for male managers is to get informed themselves, to learn to understand and understand. That's the first place. Because I think if organizations are like that, then people know that if they want to approach the conversation, they can. And so I think it's that open dialogue, you know, asking questions and just asking the person in their team, is there something that you want to talk about? And if you're not comfortable talking about with me, is there something that I can point you in the right direction to that you would feel comfortable talking about it? Because not everyone wants to, but just, you know, enabling people to is a great start.
Yeah, so like letting them know that the door is open, but they do not have to share, but just having that communication is key, isn't it? So it's up to the individual. And I totally get what you're saying about each person's experience is different. So there is never going to be a one size fits all. So to people listening that may be running a team, how can organizations create like period positivity or a period positive culture? Is there anything that they can do right now to sort of get this change happening?
Yeah, I think education is always the first place, right? And that's not just like a one-time thing. It's not just like a one-off session, but like, you know, how can you integrate some ongoing education around the menstrual cycle? Because it, like you said, like it's so taboo and that's really ingrained. So like a one-off session isn't going to all of a sudden make people feel comfortable, but just like bringing in some education is really important, and across all layers, sessions for menstruators and then for non-menstruators and males in the business is really great. You know, having you know, companies have like DEI champions, you know, these days we're seeing a lot more menopause champions coming through. Can we have, you know, menstrual cycle champions where people can really go to for support within the organization? You know, we're seeing a lot of period dignity in businesses, so making sure we've got period products in toilets, because that just immediately says, hey, you're welcome. Like, this is okay. And also just, yeah, it's, you know, makes life so much more easier for people who have menstrual cycles. And I would say like in all your toilets as well, you know, we've really got to consider our trans and non-binary community, and having a, you know, having a period positive environment is about having an environment or a workplace where it's safe to have a period. It's safe to have a period here, and you can have a period without the fear of judgment, persecution, you know, like just jokes, microaggressions, all of those things that have just been really super common that are just not okay. So that's why that education piece is really important, and in considering all menstruators, not just women.
That's so such great advice, and some of it is really basic, like just knowing that it's a safe space to have a period at work, free products in case you've come on your period and, you know, you're not, we've all been there, we're not equipped. I was chatting to someone recently about time off for periods, which I really want to get into. But I did a post on TikTok about how in Spain now you get 3 days off, and if you have significant pain or whatever it is, you can have up to 5 days off paid leave a month. And the comments on TikTok, they were like, we need this, we need this, this is, why isn't this in the UK? Have you got any thoughts on period leave? I know that it's, you know, nothing is easy when you're in a, especially if you're in a huge organization, trying to steer change and manage culture. I get that it's a big, big process. It's going to be slow. Have you got any thoughts on a company in, you know, implementing that kind of thing?
Totally. And like that, that's it. Like I've heard all like all the objections and the fears around it. Like it's
which
really
are what?
Interesting.
Can you wait, tell well, us about
you know, like just like I've heard like non-menstruators and males coming out and just being like, this is just not fair, you know, like to have like a few days off, what, to sit around, like, and I've had some people just really go there, and then equally women saying like, you know, I don't want this, I don't want to talk about this, I don't, you know, I get on with it, everyone else should just get on with it. And also the fears around like, you're just going to make it worse for us. You know, we're fighting so hard for a seat at the table and that this is just making it worse for us. And so I always say to people, like, I really appreciate their honesty and them coming forward, because then we can have a conversation about that. Because, you know, one, I think that like, when we make the kind of the male cycle or the 24-hour cycle like the norm and we forget about the menstrual cycle, that's a power over dynamic, not a power with. And so we're really inviting change, which is scary, but like, and we're inviting indifference to value difference. And so that, so like just inviting people into those conversations is really helpful. And with my doorbell's just gone, so it's just like, oh, got my attention for a second there. So where was I? So I think that's a really like great place to start. And then just that's why the education piece is really important as well for those people who have a lot of fears around it. I think, you know, first of all, can you start with flexible working? Flexible working is, you know, is huge. You know, if you can't offer menstrual leave in terms of 1 to 2 or 3 days paid leave per month, starting with flexible working is huge, because for women and people with menstrual cycles, just to be able to work from home, either on those days of their bleeds, or often it's the few days just before their bleed that can often be the worse, you know, being for them to be able to not have to commute, you know, to be able to be in comfortable clothing, to be near their toilet, like all of these things that we just don't think about. So I think flexible working, you know, is a great place to start. And then also just to think about like, what other policies do you have? What other leave do you offer? And how could menstrual leave sit alongside that? So I think, you know, and that is a great, I mean, incredible way that you can make some changes.
That's really good advice. I think sometimes we're seeing a lot, aren't we, in the press at the moment about a lot of organisations asking employees or pulling flexible working or hybrid working from under their feet. So I think that's really good advice, because sometimes when you, I guess, in an organization, when you feel like you need to do something, but the change is going to be so hard, it's almost like starting with what you have. Like, I love what you said about what other policies do you have that it could sit alongside, that it's not just adding it on and or trying to tick a box. It's like that showing your employees that you're really thinking about it, but you're thinking about everyone in the picture and every voice. And I loved what you said about people, you know, the objections, because I've heard those as well. And I agree with you. We need to hear them. We need people to use their voice, because we have to have the transparent conversation, because it's not going to be easy. And I have heard that a lot about, you know, women, you know, fighting for a place in leadership or, you know, wanting to be paid the same as men, and then thinking that us talking about this is just going to hinder them. It's really interesting to see that point of view. I find that fascinating, especially the work we're doing at Jobs for Women and Jobs for Neurodiverse. It's seeing everyone's perspective. So yeah, great advice. And then talk to us about what you do. So if you work in an organization, what kind of, will you go in and do like a workshop? What sort of work are you actually doing?
Yeah, like going into companies and educating, and that education like is like different layers, as I've mentioned. A lot of the work I do is around that inclusion piece. You know, not all women get periods, and not all people who get periods are women, and we really need to think about that. you know, there are women born without wombs, you know, it's there's MKHR, you know, intersex folk, like, so really, you know, people have had hysterectomies at young ages. And when we kind of make it about women, we take away and we invalidate their experience. And then equally, really thinking about our non-binary and trans community. And, you know, I often say, like, is it safe for them to have a period in your workplace? Like, is it really? You know, like, what are we doing? So there's some of the education piece, you know, looking at like neurodiversity and how menstrual cycle awareness intersects with autism and ADHD, really like fantastic research coming out that even individuals themselves don't know about, and they don't know how to advocate for themselves. So, and then just like, what is a menstrual cycle? Like, what does that actually mean when we break it down? What are the phases of the cycle? What's happening? And I'll kind of tailor those to groups. Sometimes it's looking at the whole organization and with the whole organization. I love the organizations that are like, let's just sit with menstruators and really let them understand and get intimate with their cycles. And I teach them how to track their cycles and how they can really use that in their, how that can really make an impact in their whole life, their relationships, their work life, you know, their sales cycles, like whatever it is that they're doing, they're, if they're in product or management, like how they can integrate that into their role. And then equally educating men and non-menstruators, putting policies together, you know, there's depending on the organization's needs and capacity, we kind of go in and can do all sorts of work at different layers.
I love that about knowing where you are in your cycle. So like, yeah, like you said about depending on what job you do. So if you're in sales, knowing what week to hit hard and just like get off sales. I found that fascinating when I spoke to a menstrual coach on the Women Work Wellbeing podcast. And I have started to make those sort of, I've been looking ahead and thinking when I'm doing the live stuff or the podcast recording or the webinars, like when to schedule it, because I'm guilty of just pile it on, keep going. Yeah. But actually, you can make your menstrual cycle work to your advantage. So I think that is the education piece, is great. And it's so brilliant to hear that you're going into companies and they are open to this. Have you got any examples or case studies that you can share with us? Any success stories?
Yeah, I think I've got two. I think like on the big, the wider like scale, just the big thing that comes away is that often get women will message me on LinkedIn afterwards. And equally non-binary peers who will say like, one, thank you for advocating like for me, and thank you for bringing your voice in. But two, like I just didn't realize I had that much agency. Like so many people think that they're the only one, they feel really ashamed of it, and they don't think they have any agency. And so to really be able to give women and menstruators, this like, hey, you can take ownership and accountability and age and have agency is huge, because a lot of them just feel stuck. So I love that. And then, you know, I've worked with this organization for the past 12 months. So I've been coaching two individuals in the business. And when I'm working with people, menstruality is a really big focus. So, and then educating the wider organization around the menstrual cycle, menstrual health and gynecological disorders, that someone in the company has really severe endometriosis. So that's been part of it. And one of the wonderful things there is that they now have, you know, on their teams, next to their names, if they want to, they put an icon that indicates where they are on their cycle. And I just think that's like fabulous. Like, you know, that like there's a group of them, if they want to, they do a cycle check in each day that just to says like, this is where I'm in my cycle. This is what's going on for me. This is what I need. You know, this is what I need to prioritize. But equally, everyone else in the organization can see where they're in their cycle. And you know, that just means that like, I don't know, if someone's like on their period and you're ringing them, like you're just mindful of that. And I think, again, like, one, you might just be more conscious of how you go into that conversation. But like, you know, when we break down the cycle, when you're on your bleed, you know, you can often have a real stillness and perspective that can be really offered, particularly if you're nourished and resourced. That's really helpful. You know, equally, if you rang someone and you knew that they're at that peak part of their cycle around their ovulation, they're probably going to have a lot of drive and force and enthusiasm and like, yes, let's go get it. Like, so what perspective are you getting? And so I think for this organization, they've really been able to embrace that. And I just think that's like incredible.
Oh, it is so incredible. And it's just, it's great to have that insight from you that you're going in and doing it and they're actually making the changes and creating the conversation and breaking down the barriers, making it not taboo. And equally, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. I love that. It's like having that flexibility, isn't it? How do organizations, so if there's, you know, someone listening, how do organizations measure the impact? Is there a way that organizations could, you know, if they're thinking of implementing it, how can they measure it?
I think, yeah, I mean, anonymous questionnaires are always really helpful for people who are willing to participate to give their opinions. So if you've been implementing training and you know, if you've implemented a metro policy and you're wanting to see like either you're noticing people aren't using it or that maybe you thought more people would use it, just using those anonymous questionnaires is really really helpful. And then equally, like speaking to your managers, you know, what are they hearing, what are they noticing, because often they will just pick up more. And so I think they're really the best ways to manage it in terms of getting that feedback.
Yeah. And one of my, we've got to wrap up soon, but one of the questions I wanted to ask was about just going back to your point earlier about when there's objections or kickback, you know, if you are responsible for implementing something to support those that are menstruating, what is the, I know that there, you don't have a crystal ball, but is, How does an organization deal with that if they're going to implement a policy and then they get so much kickback? Is there a solution to appease everyone?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, like in some ways I'm like, it's a bit boring, but it's the education piece, right? Like curiosity breeds awareness and awareness breeds change. And I think it's just educating people. I do think that on the menstrual leave piece, you can just have well-being days. You know, we offer 5 well-being days a year. We offer 7 well-being days a year, and they can be used, you know, by everyone. So I think that is a way of meeting middle ground. You know, there are arguments for and against it being a well-being day, but I think that can be for companies who are wanting to make a bit of change. And otherwise, this is why the education piece is just so important, because people are naturally going to have opinions and feelings about it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on the education piece, not just doing a one-off workshop and hoping for the best and expecting there to be a ripple effect of change. It's kind of like we need to keep having the conversations. Thank you, Lizzie, for joining us. You have so much experience in this area. I didn't know about, you know, your story about right at the beginning about how you were, you know, almost on the front line chatting to real women. I think it's really helped shape what you do and it shines through. If people want to connect with you and find out more, where can they find you?
LinkedIn is always just a great place, isn't it? Like we all just hang out. And also I'm an ex-recruiter, so I'm like always on LinkedIn. So yeah, it's just Lizzie Kurtzer on LinkedIn. I would love for people to come connect with me.
Yeah, awesome. And I will put the link to your LinkedIn in the show notes. Thank you so much, Lizzie.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Zoe.